T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Diesel. Final hour of the week, minus you. You still got 93.3 The Planet. We got Smash or Trash or anything cool going on? Because you were so excited about Smash or Trash today. You came in and actually told me about it. What, highest song ever?
No, not highest song ever. Just highest song of the week is from Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
Yeah, the pop star.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran has the number one song on the planet. That's what we call it. Number one song on the planet.
And then also, what, Bruno Mars in there, and who else with that?
Bruno Mars and Chris Stapleton.
Yeah, interesting. No doubt about it. All right, so here's what we've been doing. It's our final hour of the week. I've got Monday. I'm out on vacation the rest of the week next week. Tuesday, Diddy will be here in studio. Then Coach Josh Phillips will have you for the rest of the week. So Diesel's got his work cut out for him, no doubt about it. So what I did is, in honor of missing my first media days in forever, 12 years. I mean, no offense, that's a quarter of my life, roughly. I went ahead and pretended I would be turning in a ballot at both ACC and SEC Media Days. When it comes to that, ACC, it will be up in Charlotte on Wednesday and Thursday at the Westin. Mark and Lonzo will be up there from 1 to 4 on Wednesday. ACC Atlantic went like this for me. And granted, all of these are just crapshoots, okay? For ACC Atlantic, Clemson 1, Syracuse 2, Wake Forest 3, Florida State 4, NC State 5, Boston College 6, Louisville 7. Really, once you get after Clemson, you can jumble them all up, and who knows how they come. Same thing for the Coastal, but I got Virginia 1, Miami 2, Virginia Tech 3, Pitt 4, Duke 5, North Carolina 6, and Georgia Tech, for just not knowing anything, number 7. You know, who knows how they adapt to having their entire program and offense changed out in front of them. Just did the SEC East. Let's recap. I think it's pretty evident Georgia and Florida on a level by their own. Georgia a little bit in front of Florida right now. But Georgia 1, Florida 2, Kentucky number 3. I really think people are going to be surprised that maybe Kentucky's recruited better under Mark Stoops than they think. Tennessee and South Carolina tied for 4th. Missouri 6 and Vanderbilt 7. Now, you can make it really, I think anybody but Vanderbilt, you can put into that 3 slot and make a really, really good case for them. One of the reasons I maybe have South Carolina down a little bit lower is I'm just worried about the strength of that schedule taking some air out of them by the end of the season. However, you look at the SEC West, Diesel, who do you think I've got number 1 in the SEC West media poll?
No, that ain't Texas A&M.
They were close.
But you didn't ask me who was close. You said, you asked me who was number 1, and I said it's not Texas A&M.
Alabama, obviously. I've got Texas A&M number 2. And here's why. I like Kellen Mond. Like what he does. Jimbo Fisher, another season, looking comfortable there. This is what he was brought in to do, because why? Why? I think it was a big thing for Texas A&M to finally get that 7 overtime win over LSU last year. So I've got Texas A&M number 2 in year number 2 of Jimbo Fisher. I like their quarterback better than Joe Burrow. But I got LSU number 3. Number 4 in the SEC West, the Auburn Tigers. Number 5, Mississippi State with second-year head coach Joe Moorhead. Number 6, the Arkansas Razorbacks. They climbed themselves out of the basement. Listen, I believe in the job Chad Morris will do as head coach at Arkansas. It's just going to take him some time, because whoever decided, let's go try to do something different and change up the SEC, and Arkansas said, let's go get a big power running game. And let's go get Brent Bielema to do that. That screwed your program for years. Years. But I really do think Chad Morris has a plan, has a vision. You're already seeing it pay off on the in the recruiting, and now he's got his son who's going to be coming in as quarterback. I think there are better days ahead for Arkansas. Therefore, Ole Miss at number 7. I like Matt Luke. I really do. He's a nice guy. Now, whether he is – he is the right coach at the right time, if you will, for Ole Miss right now, because you're going to start seeing some of these NCAA sanctions take a little bite out of them here, Diesel. You know, less scholarships, things of that nature. You need a good, positive guide to guide you through this process right now. Matt Luke is it, but I don't know if it's going to pay off in wins and losses.
The SEC East is a race to the bottom. Everybody stinks. The SEC West is a race to the middle because everybody's going to beat up on each other, but you got better teams across the board in the West. I mean, Ole Miss, that's a school that's been ranked in the top five recently.
Yeah, but that was under Hugh Freeze, and there was some really, really weird stuff going on there.
I'm just saying, you're right. The SEC West is – everybody's just so good that they're all beating up on each other. If you can be that one team that luckily gets out with only one loss – then congratulations, you're the king of it. But the SEC East, it's I wish I could say the SEC East was murderer's row, but it's not. The West is murderer's row.
But the thing is, I look it up during the break, I think for the first time ever, the East beat the West last year in head-to-head competition. But I'm with you. When you look at this top to bottom, you're looking at Ole Miss, who had a 500 season last year under Matt Luke in his first year. So Arkansas was 2-10. They were horrific, but like I said, they were trying to play 7-on-7 football with a NFL offensive line. It just didn't work. Mississippi State quietly did okay in first year head coach Joe Moorhead. And then my question is, Diesel, would a fourth place finish in the SEC West be good enough for Auburn to keep Gus Malzahn as a head coach?
No, that insane buyout's what's keeping him employed.
Delvin, if this were to play true and Auburn finished fourth in the SEC West, could you see Gus Malzahn returning for another year as head coach of the Auburn Tigers?
I don't think so. I think they'll be looking for a new head coach because I think Auburn got a lot of high expectations.
Yep.
With the fan base, and they're not going to spread that. But I agree with you about the first three Texas, Alabama, of course. I got LSU second and Texas A&M third. I think they got a lot of talent at LSU. They get the offense going, I think they can be and get a quarterback situation set up with Joe Burrow. If he can prove on his bowl game against UCF, mm-hmm. I think they can surprise some people. And,
yeah, mine in that two slot literally just came down to I feel a little bit better about Kellen Mond than I do Joe Burrow, but you can move those around and not miss a beat.
Yeah, as far as the East goes, Missouri is my surprise team. They remind me of the 2013 team. You know, nobody didn't spend up for them, and they came out of nowhere. I'm not going to say they're going to win the East, but I think they're going to surprise about with Kelly Bryant at quarterback. I think they're going to surprise people.
See, my problem with Missouri is you look at what is on the roster, or God forbid, give him credit. Be the first time he's been given credit in college football in a while, Delvin. But Derek Dooley has been able to develop a couple of things there as coordinator. But have you seen all the stuff outside the stadium going on at Missouri? I mean, they've had complaints and protests. I think there were some games last year that they had 30,000 people in the stands. So I think there's some external factors that I still got to watch Barry Odom navigate through before I really buy into what they do.
And as far as me the same goes, I got a couple questions that I hope fans ask. One, everybody been talking about this offseason. I want somebody to ask me, do you think your team was mentally fatigued at the end of the season? That's why y'all lost to Clemson. That's what I did.
All right. Well, we'll get into that here in a minute. Number one, I would think, yes. Diesel, let me ask you this. I mean, they went in and after the first two, three games of the season, they're putting this tagline on Alabama as potentially the greatest team in college football history. You know, youngsters in today's age, they hear that stuff. Did that wear on them? I don't know. But let me also tell you, the last thing I need is Paul Feinbaum, a Tennessee grad, sticking up for me as somebody that went to Alabama. Dude, we got our butts hammered 44-16. There's nothing else to say. Hopefully we'll see you again in December or January, but I don't need others in the Southeastern Conference making excuses for why Clemson beat the crap out of us out in California last year. It seems like the ones that are doing the most takedown of Clemson are the other schools in the SEC. I saw it with my own two eyes. We got beat. Nothing more, nothing less. I want to clarify that because you know what? That's going to be why Nick Saban has to probably answer some questions next week when it comes to media days. You know what I mean? How do you handle this? You've been beat before, but you've never gotten beat like that. But for some reason, when I hear a lot of this chatter going on about, you know, headed toward Clemson, y'all couldn't handle the SEC, this, that, and the other. It's not the Bama fans. It's the other schools in the SEC that are giving it to them. Again, 4 years in a row, we played them in the college football playoff. We, meaning Bama. I suspect we may see them again this year. But guess what? Tip of the cap. You whooped our butts last time. I don't have a problem admitting it. Now, we'll see how things, maybe if they can turn in Bama's direction when you add to the simple fact that revenge is a unqualified quantifier nobody can ever put their finger on. And you can tell, you know, Clemson wanted it after that Sugar Bowl. But, yeah, I would say, number one, I think it weared on him. Number two, I think Nick Saban and his inconsistency has worn on on Alabama. In the simple fact, year after year after year, they're replacing coordinator after coordinator after coordinator. And that's one reason Justin Ross is wearing orange and white from Phoenix City, Alabama. He liked the fact that Jeff Scott's been there and is likely to be there as his position coach. But, yeah, Diesel, I saw what happened 44. You wouldn't do that if you played that. I don't need other people making an excuse for a beatdown. Sometimes just honor it. Just own it. And that's exactly what happened to the Alabama Crimson Tide in Santa Clara, California. But it's not exactly the worst place to be. Others are saying, man, can Bama handle that, this, that, the other? Well, if I'm sitting in the room, what are a few questions I think are coming Nick Saban's way at SEC Media Days next week? We'll also finish out with Major League Baseball standings and maybe what some things some teams need to do between now and the end of the season. 844-GSP, ESPN, bring it to us straight up here in the final hour. Plus, our question of the day. Is your child playing youth football? Are they playing tackle? Are they playing flag? And why did you make that decision? Because Union, South Carolina, the county says no more tackle football till you get to junior high.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, we're going to get into some more football, but Diesel, this just hit my Twitter feed. It's Friday. Villa Italian Kitchen announces on Wednesday. This is obviously a chain somewhere because it says participating locations starting July 18th. They are coming out with a new kind of pizza in which, if you look closely, it's only the crust. All right, isn't that what we call a breadstick to begin with? Number two, where is said crust coming from? Are they going around getting the leftover crust at lunchtime and putting it in and putting it in a triangular box like this? There's, what, five small pieces of crust? How are you coming up with a pizza that only has crust made on it?
That's a great question.
What do you do? Are you cutting out the center of the pizza and throwing it away?
They better not. I'll eat it.
No, but listen, you know what kills restaurants as quick as anything else? Waste. I just kind of wonder how you make just a crust, and people say that's their favorite part of the pizza. I get it.
I don't.
Crust can be good or bad, but...
Crust is not really a food. It's a handle. Crust is a pizza handle.
It's a utensil. Kind of.
No, I like my word better. It's a handle.
It's a food handle. There you go, baby. I'm sorry. That's just kind of interesting. How do you come up with that much crust and no inside of the pizza? All right. We've been talking about, you know, in honor of Media Days beginning on Monday, SEC gets started. ACC gets started on Wednesday up in Charlotte. Is it fair to say from time to time Nick Saban can get agitated with the media, Diesel? You know, I'm talking agitated. I'm not talking Adam Gase with the New York Jets, like following a flying saucer around going, what is his problem? But, I kind of wonder, Alabama has proved, or Nick Saban has proven, he can do it. He can do it, but they do it in a much more, they do it in a different way than what Dabo Swinney and Clemson. Clemson has a little bit more fun. They're kind of like, and it just goes to show you that different results can happen in different ways. But Diesel, I don't think Dabo Swinney trash talks his opponent. I don't think Nick Saban trash talks his opponent. I think that's one thing that they're similar in right now. They just go about their jobs in a little bit different manners. Do you agree or disagree?
Different strokes for different folks.
All right. Dan Mullen on the other side. Do you believe in karma? Because Dan Mullen, he's been talking a little smack since he left Mississippi State for Florida. Do you remember ahead of their spring game, he announced they were going to troll somebody with their attendance figure? And it took somebody, a week to come up with it was the number of days and the number of seasons that Georgia has played since winning a national title in football. So, when you're out there bragging, we're going to troll somebody, and you're doing it, and you're talking. Unfortunately, they lose another player today. Their top recruit out of the 2018 class is hurt. He's going to be out for the rest of the season. We've seen Chris Still transfer out of there this year. There's been some bad karma things that have happened to Florida, so maybe Dan Mullen back it off a little bit. This stuff never went on when you were at Mississippi State, and I get that you feel like you're dealing with more of a loaded deck there at Florida. But Nick Saban, man, I can't wait to see his response next week, because he's going to be asked a couple of things. Like, I would say, number one, how did your team handle, what did you do taking the worst loss in your career at the University of Alabama, 4 touchdowns versus Clemson in the championship game? And you wait and see. Wait and see, Diesel. Clemson becomes a little bit of a subject line in Birmingham. Because one of the questions that I think 2 questions are coming Nick Saban's way in regards to opponents. Number one, Georgia's right there nipping at your knees. You know what I mean? It took, this year, making the change to Jalen Hurts after Tua gets injured and Jalen Hurts comes back. But again, it comes down to, let's see how brilliant I might be, okay? Let me at midfield go for it on 4th and 11 and put my backup quarterback, Justin Fields, out there in the protection role. Oh, that's not going to tip off Alabama's defense and let them stay on the field. And, they lost a yard. That was a worse decision than Nick Saban ever thought about making against Clemson, because he knew he needed points there. It was going to get it could get crazy. That was hands down a worse decision, because that was at midfield. He made a short field for Alabama to go down and get the winning touchdown, no doubt about it. So these are 2 questions I think Nick Saban's going to have to deal with, which is not relative to his 2019 team. Number one, can Alabama fend off Georgia in the Southeastern Conference? And Diesel, that's a legitimate comment, because a couple of years ago in the national championship game, it went overtime. Last year, it took Kirby Smart bumbling some things there at the end for Alabama to come back and beat the Dogs. That's a legitimate question. The second one will be, They will make him angry, but has Clemson now overtaken you as a program on the national level? That's what I mean. Clemson's going to get some play at SEC Media Days this upcoming week.
Well, I can guarantee you there's going to be more questions about Clemson than there will be about Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm. My thing is he's going to be called out. You know, how's your coordinator situation? Because by all accounts, last year he was so unhappy with his defensive coordinator, he kind of took things over there at the end of the year. You know, Loxley is now out the door, the offensive coordinator. He's gone to Maryland. Yeah, he's going to be asked, is this revolving door there at the coordinator position, is that taking its toll on y'all? Because the one thing you got to give Dabo Swinney a bunch of credit for, that assistant coaching staff has been as consistent it can be there in Clemson. You're also going to have to answer, do you have the defensive personnel to take back what took place last year in that Clemson game? There was no doubt by the third quarter, Quinnen Williams was tired. Christian Miller didn't play in the game. Bama had some players out, but can you replace those guys? Because guess what? Defensive tackle Quinnen Williams was the third overall pick in the NFL draft by the New York Jets. And that, I mean, he was constantly doubled and triple teamed. It took a toll on him. You also, what about Christian Miller? You saw him not being on the field versus Clemson was huge. Clemson could not get the pass rush on Trevor Lawrence that they had hoped to. Now, you do got players like former five-star recruit Fedarian Mathis ready to step up. You got a true freshman five-star and DJ Dell. He was turning heads, but either way, Alabama's got defensive players to replace, because go back and look at the second half of that game versus Oklahoma in the semifinals. You remember Bama got up 28-0, and some people will say they held on. There's a certain truth to that as well. I think they got beat up. I think the bench became thinner, and you got to find out how this year that changes, because football's not changing. Clemson's not – that offense isn't going anywhere. So those are some of the things that I think Nick Saban's going to have to deal with. And I can't wait. How long do you think? What's the over-under, Diesel? First sign of stank eye by Nick Saban. You know what I mean? It kind of, I can't believe you asked that. Look, I'm saying 2 hours max before you see that in some form or fashion.
I think he's going to walk onto the dais with a stink eye.
You know, he handles those situations a lot better than people realize. And so he does pretty good with that. But, again, those are questions. But like I said, I want to see – one of my things watching next week is, because I hear it, I see it, I'm tired on Twitter watching it go down. Other schools in the SEC making excuses for Alabama last year against Clemson. Worry about your own stuff. You guys take on us. We'll worry about Clemson if we get another chance at them. But I know what took place out there in Santa Clara. And to the victor goes the spoils. All right, when we come back, yesterday Diesel hinted at it. The conference, the ACC, officially named their bowl destinations for the 2020 through 2025 seasons. And you know what? I like it. If you ain't playing in the college football playoff, send me somewhere I haven't been before. And that's the case with the Atlantic Coast Conference. Bring it to us straight up, 844-GSP-ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
ACC football kickoff begins on Wednesday in Charlotte, but the conference officially announced yesterday its 10 bowl affiliations beginning in 2020, lasting through 2025, and the lineup includes a new bowl game being played at Fenway Park in Boston. I guess that matches up with the Pinstripe Bowl.
Wait, do you like these games at baseball stadiums?
No.
I think they're a bad idea. I understand why these stadiums are doing it, because it's a way to generate some revenue in their off season.
Yeah, I love Boston, but I don't want to go there for a bowl game.
Yeah.
It's cold, all right? But the new one, it would be fun once, but guess what? Resign yourself, Clemson fans. If you ever end up in a bowl game in Boston, you're not having the kind of year that you've been accustomed to, so are you really going to go travel in the first place? I mean, think about it. From Clemson's standpoint, one of the best things that ever happened to their fan base, if you will, maybe not be the amount of money they've spent in the last 4 years when it comes to multiple destinations in the postseason, but back in the day when everybody got into this conference tie-in in the bowl games, Diesel, before Clemson became the power they were, you could look at it and get the beginning of the year and go, well, you're going to end up in the Chick-fil-A Bowl in Atlanta, the Champs Bowl down in Orlando, or the Music City Bowl in Nashville. And that's pretty much where they went for about a seven-year period.
Well, if I'm going to a crappy bowl, I'd rather go to one that's close to home.
Right. Or go somewhere you don't go. And I think it's great. I don't know where it will fall, but they added the Holiday Bowl in San Diego. San Diego. That would be a curveball. That's what I mean. That would be fun. Why? You got good weather in San Diego. You got SeaWorld.
Yeah, but it's everything. Fun. It's fun for the 5,000 who have the money to fly to San Diego and back. I mean, it's pointless for all the fans who we just talked about don't go to home games because it's so damn expensive. They're not going to San Diego.
And they're not. Some of them will. I mean, how many? You not think App State about their forced trip to Montgomery, Alabama for whatever that bowl game is, the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl, whatever it is. You not think about three or four times there in 6 years, you're not going to have the same amount of people go, screw it, let's go to San Diego. That might be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
What I'm calling for, though, is a little more common sense with these bowl tie-ins. Yeah. Tie-in schools tie-in conferences that are resident city fits within their footprint.
Yeah. Well, that's what the ACC's trying to do. Those northern schools, they can go to Boston, a Pitt, a Syracuse.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff. They got rid of Detroit and Shreveport. Thank you. Two places I don't want to be on December 26th. Detroit, Michigan, or Shreveport, Louisiana. I'd actually rather be in Shreveport. They have kept the Belt Bowl, the Camping World Bowl in Orlando, the Sun Bowl in El Paso, the Military Bowl in Annapolis, the Pinstripe Bowl in New York City, the Outback Bowl in Tampa, the Tax Slayer Bowl in Jacksonville. So that's then they'll have one more tie-in, a 10th tie-in, Diesel, that they will rotate amongst the Bad Boy Mowers Bowl, which that's the Gasparilla Bowl, correct? The Birmingham Bowl, which there's a place I don't want to have to go back to, and the First Responder Bowl in Dallas, which that actually, if you remember, Boston College rained out, and they called that game this past season. But that's what they have to look forward to when it comes to bowl slots in the ACC. All right, again, you can get back in with us at 844-GSP-ESPN. Are you letting your child play Little League football this year? And is it tackle or flag, and why? Because Union County, they're actually changing all youth football to flag until you get to junior high school. Interestingly enough, the numbers don't support, when it comes to injuries, that you're any better off in flag football than you are in tackle. So that's kind of interesting. You could have knocked me over with a feather on that one when I found out when I was doing my research for the show today. So give us an idea, and you can text us at 71307 at ESPN Upstate. But Diesel, it's sort of a Friday. I saw everybody coming through Greenville today on I-85. I mean, both north and southbound, Diesel. When I was coming into work today, it was already, you can tell it is the travel time of the year. Who is one actor or actress, for various reasons that you would not want to travel with? Because mine just went, I saw this one on Twitter earlier today, and when I saw it, I thought about it for a minute, guessed, and it was exactly the right person is based off of this poll, if you will. So what's one actor, based on roles in movies or based off temperament in real life, what's one actor you would not want to travel with?
Roseanne.
Yeah?
Wouldn't want to travel with Roseanne. It has nothing to do with her political affiliations or anything like that. I just feel like she's an annoying person.
Okay. So you're going a different route than I'm going. You're going real life. I'm going to go based off of scenes in movies.
Well, that's not an actor. That's a character. You didn't say character. No, you said actor.
Hold on. The actor that played characters, okay?
Well, okay, so then the actor. Yeah. So you can't say a character. I'm going to go ahead and nix whatever it is you're about to say because you're going to say a character, and that doesn't count.
No. I'm going to say I ain't getting on an airplane with Tom Hanks, even though it's his 63rd birthday today.
Why? Tom Hanks is an American treasure.
Castaway.
So? Good film.
Forrest Gump.
Great film.
Apollo 13.
Fantastic film.
Sully.
You are not selling your point right now.
Sully.
Okay, still.
Terminal. The Terminal. Those are all travel movies that end in a very bad way for the character of Tom Hanks. Hey, if I see Tom Hanks coming on an airplane, I'm getting off of it.
Well, point is, he has traveled to all of these destinations where he filmed these movies, and he's been just fine.
I just say it based off of the luck of Tom Hanks and the draw of the movies that he's had. If I see Tom Hanks, I will buy him a drink before I get off the airplane and go, be my guest. I love Tom Hanks. I mean, I remember when he hit it big as an actor back in the day. It was a sitcom where he and his partner dressed up as women to live in a women's apartment building because it was only like $100 a month in rent. And then he just goes on from there. But like I said, can you think of one more actor that would just, you know, some of those roles of Castaway or, you know, being stuck in space, Apollo 13, Sully landing a plane on the river in New York City, the Terminal being trapped in there for a good 5 weeks or so. Yeah, I ain't wanting to get on there. I'm not getting on that airplane with Tom Hanks. But happy 63rd birthday, Diesel. We want to wish Tom Hanks a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Tom Hanks, not to me.
Well, you know what I'm saying. Quit being so semantically correct here.
So you don't want me to argue semantics, do you?
Yeah, by the way, Chief was laughing at you last night at the Shiva going, what was the word that Diesel asked you if you knew? And you admitted right there, then and there, you didn't know what it was. And, hey, man, that happens every day here on Straight Up with Sturge. 844-GSP, ESPN. When we come back, what did the Braves kick off the second half with? We'll get you updated on a few things on our way out the door. All right, so Diesel, Chief gets in with us and says Burt Reynolds Boogie Nights. Something about a movie, obviously. But Mark Wahlberg's in that movie, correct? I love his name. I don't know if we are FCC regulated.
Nothing wrong with saying Dirk Diggler on the air.
So, that's what I took away from Boogie Nights. But, by the way, you know, we up here on the second level at Intercom, we all share offices with each other, and you share one with Cherie Taylor from Magic 98.9. That makes sense because we mentioned the last name, Wahlberg. Diesel, her friend called her up Wednesday night, I think it was, when New Kids on the Block had their mixtape tour here in Greenville, which we have heard great reviews about that show. I didn't realize they were all out there together with each other at various times, but Cherie Taylor's friend gets she's a chiropractor, and she gets a call that she needs to go to Bon Secour Wellness Arena and do a adjustment, is what chiropractors do on one of the performers. She gets down there, and it was Donnie Wahlberg. And she freaked out. She called Cherie going, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. It's Donnie Wahlberg. Dude, I heard that was the entire arena Wednesday night of 35 to 45-year-old women. Just go, I don't know.
Took them all back to when they were 15 years old all over again. Now, I've got a friend who's a massage therapist, and she was hired 1 year along with several other massage therapists to work big festival events. Mm-hmm. She did Carolina Rebellion or something 1 year, and that's one of the kind of the perks of being a band on those big festivals. Is there is a whole backstage area where you just go in and sign up for a time and go get massages, go get facials, whatever you need, man. Yep. You know, I mean, it's weird to think of these big burly rock stars needing, you know, massages and facials and mani-pedis and all that stuff. But hey, man, you know, take it while you can get it. I've never had a mani-pedi, but I'll bet you it is incredible.
I love a good mani. I had one for my birthday, if you remember. I was up
there. I smell a bit. I think we should do a bit on the air. Diesel gets a mani-pedi.
How about you, me, and Chief, all right? A rock DJ, a rock bass player and a sports talk loudmouth all getting pedicures together and what the conversation was.
I mean, there's been a lot of barbershop shows, barbershop podcasts. Why not Manny Petty podcasts?
I'm all for it. And I bet I know somebody that might be willing to play along. And Chief, by the way, you don't even have to tweet us. I know you're all in with that one. I don't care about it. Diesel, sometime he's married to the most beautiful at Jenny McCarthy. So anyway, Diesel, real quickly, this is big. 2 weeks from yesterday. After I get back from vacation, but 2 weeks from yesterday, 13 days from now, the Carolina Panthers will kick off training camp in Spartanburg. And Diesel, I'm getting conflicting reports. I've heard Cam Newton is struggling. And now today, it's being floated that Cam Newton is progressing well from his shoulder surgery. I've got to see this to believe it. All right, because of what I'm going through, because of what my best friend's going through. He just had shoulder surgery a week ago Tuesday. He has actually told me, I take back anything I may have said behind your back in the last 5 months. It's the worst thing I've ever been through. So Cam Newton, he's younger than Allen and I, but I've heard mixed emotions. But according to today, Cam Newton has been progressing well in his recovery, and it does not sound like the quarterback is expected – that's the word — expected to have any limitations when the Panthers begin training camp in 13 days. Now, he dealt with soreness coming down the stretch, missed the final two games. Is this one of those you got to wait and see? Is this one of those, Diesel, that your offensive coordinator, your quarterback's coach, and, of course, Ron Rivera, the head coach, all have to be in sync with each other on what they are and are not going to limit Cam Newton in doing, which is, you hear the term pitch count in Major League Baseball? We're putting you on a pitch count. Doesn't matter if you got a no-hitter in the seventh inning. When you get 80 pitches, you're out because we're trying to build you. I'd have Cam Newton on a pass count when it comes to training camp. You know what I mean? Don't let him go out there and go, everything's great, everything's great, and then get dead arm. You know what I mean? Do you not, even as a professional athlete, we have to rein him in sometimes. So I'm very surprised by this news. I am an unabashed Carolina Panthers fan, which really kind of ticks me off because I would only cheer for them really in the past few years. Now I got to cover them and go back into no cheering in the press box mentality. But how bad that shoulder was last year, the fact that they had to go in and quote-unquote clean it out. I'm not buying that Cam Newton's showing up next Thursday or a week from Thursday at training camp 100%. It's not going to happen.
Well, whatever they do, they need to get him right before they put him out there because Cam Newton is getting older as a quarterback, and his time to come back from another setback is getting shorter and shorter every single time he gets hurt. You better make sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he is 100% ready to go. If he's at 90%, don't put him out there. If he's at 80%, don't put him out there.
You're 100% correct, because the Panthers' only chance of contending next year is with Cam Newton playing quarterback. So don't let him go out there and get it re-injured. I'm worried about, are you going to have to teach him to fall differently?
But if I'm the Carolina Panthers, I don't want to sacrifice the 2020 or 2021 season. I would rather have a weak 2019. Let him get 100% before you put him back out there.
In Ron Rivera, if you put him back out there and he's not ready and he doesn't perform up to his capabilities, guess what's going to happen with Ron Rivera? He will still be a coach in the NFL. It's just not going to be with the Carolina Panthers. He has done enough in his time there in Charlotte to guarantee himself that if he wants to coach again in the future in the NFL, he will be a recycled head coach. He's got enough cash in the bank, so to speak. But, again, you go out there and you ruin this and you make a bad decision, you're going to lose your job. So I think Ron Rivera, number one, you got to win games, but number two, you can't lose games for not handling this correctly with Cam Newton in training camp and at the beginning of the year. Because, like I said, you know, we go on a cruise, last month with our whole family. They would not let me do Dunn's River Falls in Jamaica. which was you go up through these falls up to the top of a hill. Why? Because it's slippery in there with those rocks and the algae. It wasn't because of, you know, a falling. It was if I reached, you know, if I slipped and put my arm out, I could jerk. All it's going to take. So I've got a little bit of question. I want Cam to be successful, but I want him to be 100% healthy. I'm with Diesel. You can't run him out there at 85, 90% saying he's going to get better, because if this thing's not completely healed, then guess what? I believe you got a real serious chance of re-injuring it. All right, Diesel on Monday. Be back at Smoke on the Water. Then I'll head out of town on vacation on Tuesday. Make sure you check out our website on Monday. I'll have a new article up for ESPNUpstate.com. Also, Tuesday, you'll have Diddy here in studio. Wednesday through Friday, Coach Josh Phillips. But don't forget, you got Wimbledon Finals coming up tomorrow at 2 p.m. It's Serena Williams versus Simona Halep. And again, weather permitting, 2 p.m. tomorrow for the women's finals at Wimbledon. Then breakfast at Wimbledon will take place at 9 a.m. Sunday morning. What a crazy sport, Diesel. You could have put this finals and matched them up 10 years ago, and here they are 10 years later. It's Federer and Djokovic. And name another sport that the cream of the crop has hung around like the cream of the crop has in tennis here in the last decade. I find that very, very interesting. So breakfast at Wimbledon, 9 a.m. on Sunday. Outside of that, I know this much. I'm going to find a way to cool off this weekend, Diesel. Doesn't mean be cool, just cool off, because you know you're going to be standing in line next week in Orlando, and it is equally as hot down there as it is up here. You fishing this weekend? Anything cool coming up between the planet and anything else going on?
Well, I'm trying to get up to Asheville and do a little tubing tomorrow, but it all just depends on what's going on with this weather.
Well, I can give you a weather update from 25 Garlington Road, headed down I-85 South. It doesn't look like it's raining right now, Diesel, and for about the first time this week, that would be the case. All right, listen, guys, thanks. We'll see you on Monday. I'll be at Smoke on the Water with Tyler Butler and Chris Smith, and then they'll have you covered for the rest of the week. Congratulations to our buddy LaVon Kirkland, the former Clemson Tiger, the former Pittsburgh Steeler. He and Delia Arrington were named earlier today as the two newest members of Clemson University's Ring of Honor. LaVon with the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. Thanks for everything you do. Thanks to our texters with the youth league football stuff, the phone calls, and everything else. And guess what? We'll do it again on Monday at 4 p.m. live at Smoke on the Water for another edition of Straight Up with Sturge. Have a blessed weekend.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.